33. Eyes wide with wonder, Marcy walked around the basement. It seemed to have once been used for storage, judging by the piles of old equipment and stacked throw mats. This had all been pushed away from the walls to make room for the metal sheets. The words of founding mentioned metal plates, and Marcy had imagined large, thick sheets with the words chiseled in bold, powerful letters. Instead, Moraga had scratched sheets of tin with a pen, often scribbling out sentences and lines she got wrong. A lot of it was organized as lists. It had a frenzied air to it, but not like, say, the ravings of a madman. More like notes, Marcy thought. A journalist's shorthand notes connecting ideas and building a story. Moraga slumped down on the bottom step, seeming exhausted.
I didn't believe him at first, she whispered. Topol thought he was another crackpot. But they usually have a good story to tell, something my readers want to hear. Then he started to bring me evidence, information he stole from his employers. I think he was sneaking back in, grabbing ledgers, scraps, whatever he could find. Never would let me help. He didn't want me to get too involved.
She looked up at the walls.
As if this weren't already enough to get me killed.
Marcy walked closer to offer comfort, but the woman flinched. There was a fatalistic air about her. The air of a woman who had thrown the dice and was waiting to see how the numbers came up.
How long? Wax asked, inspecting one of the plates. Almost 4 years, Moraga whispered. Like I said, I didn't believe him at first. But I've always been interested in the stories that slip through the cracks, the ones other papers ignore because they seem too sensational or too lowbrow.
Lies, you mean, Wax said. You print lies.
We prefer whimsical what-ifs. Intriguing stories that would be fascinating if they were true.
So, Wax said, lies.
Our patrons understand what they're buying, Lord Ladrian, Moraga said, lifting her chin. You know, you're friends with Jack himself. It's all about being larger than life, bigger than reality. Our patrons know we stretch to find the more interesting tidbits, the mights and the could-bes of the world.
He shook his head, obviously unconvinced. Moraga sniffed.
I did my journeymanship at the Times, top paper in the city. Totally respectable. The amount they fudged, slanted, or outright fabricated would scandalize you. At least I'm honest about it. Besides, I don't print lies. I print human interest stories. The tales of people who are ignored by the larger media. Exciting stories by adventuring celebrities. Cartoons. Pictures of funny-shaped vegetables.
How funny?
Wayne said from across the room.
Depends on your sense of humor, Moraga replied.
Crass. With a light seasoning of vulgarity.
Second box on the left, she said, next to your foot.
Wayne located the appropriate box, which was filled with sketches. In seconds, he was snickering to himself.
Anyway, Moraga continued, the more Tobol brought, and the more I pieced together, the more terrified I became. This was a story, a real story. Not a whimsical tale about bug men or the dangers of electricity. This could get people killed. Could get me killed.
She looked up at them, then continued.
Once I believed, we worked for many months putting all of this together. I started to see things he didn't. Tobol wasn't completely credible. He jumped to conclusions. But he wasn't wrong. Not at the heart of the story, and he hadn't made it up. He told me that one day he wouldn't show up to our nightly conversation. He said when that happened I should run, take everything to the authorities. But the authorities are involved, so what then? Who to tell? And then 2 weeks ago, he didn't show up. One night, two, three, and I knew, they'd found him.
I'm sorry, Maracy said.
Could he still be alive? Moraga asked. Might they have just taken him?
It's possible, Maracy said, but we don't think it's likely.
Moraga nodded, looking down at her feet. Then she closed her eyes and seemed to be waiting. For what?
For the dice to land, Maracy realized. She doesn't trust us. She's waiting to see if we shoot.
Maracy looked around the room and noticed that Wayne, despite pretending to look at the pictures, was actually watching moonlight, one hand resting lazily on his dueling cane. Likely with his medals ready, just in case she tried something. Even Wax was watching her from the corner of his eye.
This is brilliant, Moonlight said instead, staring at one of the walls.
Are these trajectory estimations?
Maracy joined her beside one set of sketches in tin which depicted looping arcs. Moonlight was right. It looked like measurements with different estimates of how far a shot could reach. Moraga stood up, seeming to take strength from the question.
That's right, she said. Those numbers are the distances the Bilming military claim their new guns can fire. They love to send releases to the local broadsheets extolling their grand navy. It's mostly bravado. They imply they could shell Ellendel from 20 miles away. But that's a lie. The guns are much shorter range than that.
And this? Maracy asked, pointing at another set of trajectories.
Poor Tobol's job was to research chemical propellants, Moraga replied.
At their confused stares, she continued.
These people, they're trying to develop self-propelled shells, weapons that could fire themselves and fly miles, or even hundreds of miles, before hitting and detonating.
Rusts, Maracy thought, her eyes widening.
She walked through the room, taking in each of the 8 large plates on the walls. She identified one having to do with the subway systems of the city, a large interconnected cavern complex that was being surveyed to determine where to place train lines. But the truth, according to Moraga's notes, was entirely different. The surveys were seeking caverns that could offer stable underground living conditions.
They're preparing bunkers, Maracy thought. That's what the supplies are for. They're stocking up for a cataclysm, perhaps.
Just as people had sought refuge in caverns during the last days before the world ended, before Harmony's ascension and the remaking of the land.
This doesn't make sense, Wax said, joining her.
Harmony says my sister is trying to prove she can rule this planet. If she blows it up, what does that prove? Why build bunkers? Does she honestly think that saving a fragment of us and annihilating the rest would prove her competence?
I don't know, Maracy admitted, then pointed at another plate. This talks about ash falls. The days of ash and destruction allowed the Lord Ruler to secure near-universal power, at least in the north. So maybe Tilson thinks that would work again?
You should read the next plate over, Moraga said.
Together they stepped to the side, reading what appeared to be a list of names.
DuPont Millstrom, Wax read. Venice Hastings, Maury Hammondus. Those are some of the most powerful senators in Ellendel.
They're in on it, Moraga said.
What?
Maracy said, spinning.
All of them?
Moraga dug in a cabinet and came out with a piece of paper. She handed it to Maracy, who showed it to Wax. A letter from Venice Hastings talking about the creation of a bomb of incredible power. It was dated almost a year ago and implicated many of the names on the wall.
Maracy frowned. That seemed impossible. This many people in their own government knew? Could the Set have its fingers wrapped that tightly around the basin?
She looked at Wax.
I know some of these people, he said. Venice is a rat, of course. But Lady Yeoman is a good friend, as close a senator as I trust. This doesn't add up, Maracy. None of this adds up.
Maybe that's why the Senate is so confident, she said, that they can bully the outer cities.
I know these people, Wax said. They wouldn't keep a secret like this. They couldn't. Everything they've done so far has been about posturing for power. The supremacy bill, the tariffs, the hard line they're taking with the South. If Venice knew about a bomb, he'd be advocating for strategic tests to prove how powerful it is.
They could all be in the set, Marcy said softly. His expression darkened. He took the letter, staring at it, and she knew what he was thinking. If the set's tendrils ran this deep, even into the hearts of his friends among the senators.
No, he said. There's something very strange here, Marcy. If my sister had all of these people following her dictates, she would already rule the basin. We're missing a big piece of this.
Moonlight walked up to them, nodding toward another of the plates.
You're talking about a bomb? Well, it seems they have one. Look at this.
Marcy and Wax walked over, finding another plate with a list of underground disturbances. It was labeled with the words, Underground Weapon Tests, tracked using seismograph.
They've developed an underground base beneath the city, Marga said. It's where they hide. Lord Mayor Entrone is involved, is probably even one of their leaders. Some of the caverns seem to be weapons testing locations, but others are bunkers they're preparing for some reason and using as a headquarters.
They stopped the tests recently, Moonlight said. Wonder why?
Well, Marga said, they know it works. I mean, they're well past their go date.
Go date? Marcy asked, feeling cold.
Stolen internal memos, Marga said, pointing to a plate. Don't know how he got them. Listing target dates for project completion. The weapon was supposed to be detonated 2 weeks ago.
Marga slumped back down onto the steps.
They killed him the day before that. I thought for sure the end would come soon after.
She buried her head in her hands.
I know I should have published this. I'm a coward. In the end, I'm a coward. I've been hunkered up here waiting for the ash to fall, haven't I? Rusts, I was convinced no one would listen. Convinced it was too late.
What is done or not done is past, Wax said, firm. We have the information now. And there's still time to stop this.
Wax, Marcy hissed, taking his arm. They have a bomb and are planning, as far as we can determine, to detonate it in Ellendale. They would have done it already if they could figure out how to get it into the city.
Marga nodded.
Their self-propelled weapon, the rocket, they call it, is having difficulties. Fuel might be the problem. It's what Tobol was working on for them before he realized what they were planning.
She stood up and steeled herself.
I need to show you one more thing.
She hurried to some boxes and dug through them as Moonlight unabashedly took rubbings of the plates. Marga dug out an Ivanotype photo.
The crowning jewel, she said softly. My best piece of evidence. The above-the-fold photo for the story I'll never actually write.
Marcy took it, frowning at Wax, who joined her. It depicted an ashen landscape in color. Marcy gasped softly, looking at the stark orange sky, the floating ash, the remnants of a ruined city in the distance. That looked kind of like Ellendale, though the ash was heaped so high, obscuring all but the tops of the smoldering broken buildings and jagged, destroyed walls.
How, Marcy said, how can you have a picture of the end of the world?
They didn't have Ivanotypes in the Survivor's Day, Wax said, looking closely. The colors are remarkable. Did someone take an old photo and paint onto it?
I don't know, Marga said. But it seems like a picture of what is going to happen. After he found this, Tobol started to get really scared. He barely stayed during our last visits. I think he mostly just huddled in his rooms until they got him. Like I've been doing.
The basement fell silent, even Wayne sensing the mood and covering up any snickering at his funny pictures. Marcy felt a mounting horror at the sight of that picture. She'd heard Wax talk about a bomb, knew what the enemy was trying to build. Laying it out in stark depiction, however, changed it from abstract to concrete. This was what they wanted to do. Wipe out everything she loved, leave rubble and ash in its place. These were bigger stakes by far than any investigation she'd ever done, and the implications of it left her disquieted on a profound level. She turned around, looking at the plates reflecting the calm electric light. Something ancient, something new. Just like the picture Wax handed back to her. A door opened upstairs. The locks had been fastened, but that didn't stop whoever had arrived. Wayne scrambled to his feet, hands going to his dueling canes, as a single set of footsteps crossed the wooden floor up above. Wax slid a gun from its holster and positioned himself to watch the steps. A figure descended onto the stairs. A woman with dark hair and a rugged build that seemed in conflict with her small nose and prim lips. She wore a suit, slacks, buttoned white shirt, jacket, and cravat. Tilson, Wax's sister, leader of the Set. She wasn't armed, at least not in a way that Marcy could make out, and she didn't seem to mind that Wax had a gun pointed at her head while Wayne backed away muttering. "An address," Tilson said. "The number on the back of the envelope was a rusting address. Do you know how many hours we wasted tearing into lockers at train stations?"